listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a very talented singer-songwriter, and she's here with us today, Miss Ashley Barrera. Is that right?
Yes.
You're like, you got the Filipino name. You got it right.
I do. I know. Yeah, you got it right. Good job.
So let's go way back. Let's talk about the moment that you first fell in love with music. Was it a song that you heard on the radio? Was it a music video? Was it a family member showing you a song? What was the moment of zen that made you fall in love with music?
I grew up in a very singy family. Everybody, my parents, my sister especially, she was probably one of the biggest influences on me. When I was like, why is she always walking around the house singing? What, like, why is that so much fun for her? And then I tried it when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I don't even know. And I'm like, hey, that is kind of fun. And I feel like I sound kind of good. So from there, I was just like obsessed. I was like, this is my path. I want to sing for the rest of my life.
What was the song or what was the music that you were singing at that age?
It was a lot of Mariah Carey. This was back in the 90s. So I loved Mariah Carey. I loved Whitney Houston. I loved Celine Dion. Not saying that I sound anything like them. They're
Oh, you're pretty close though. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You got the chops.
Thank you. I mean, I definitely have a lot of influence from them for sure. But those were like my main, and then like Michael Jackson here and there. But
that's a great era of music to like grow up. Yes. I think about that all the time. Like when I see pop music today, I'm like, man, it ain't all that. But whereas like we had this 90s or like R&B pop diva thing that was probably not going to be, it's never going to be like it was. Like Mariah, like you just said, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, those three names alone, I don't know of any three singers that can come close to those three singers now.
Exactly. You know?
It's like what you said, Michael Jackson, that was, I'm sure, like, did you ever see like when his music videos were like being debuted, like, and remember the time and all of that? That was like a serious thing. You would like tune into a show because the Michael Jackson video that was about to debut was on afterwards. And it's like,
right. Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. It was such a great era to like pay attention to music. And I love that you kind of got into the R&B divas because those are great singers to model singing from, right?
Yeah. I admired all of them. And I will say, times are very different. You know, people won't really stick around after a TV show to watch a music video. That's not really how it works anymore. But, you know, there's a lot of people these days who are forging paths also. So it's awesome. I think it's all good. We all just got to ride the wave.
Yeah. What I love about the times we're in now, it's like music has never been more alive and everywhere than it is right now. I mean, it's like I can pull out my phone and I have every song of every catalog from Spotify or iTunes or Apple Music, whatever it is. And it's like growing up, you didn't have that. You'd have to like make tapes or CDs or burn CDs and make CDs for people. And it's like that was something that was kind of like you savored music a little bit more, but now it's everywhere, which I love because there's like a sense of like music can be an influential source for anybody at any time.
Yes.
But you don't savor it as much because it's everywhere all at once. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of a catch 22 because there's good things about it. And I agree with you. There are some great artists that I love that are out now. But I just like there was something about, you know, there was a target market for every style of music. And it's like you knew the R&B singers, but I can guarantee you that you also knew the rock songs and the pop songs. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it was just, you knew all of that. Now it's like, there's so many rock artists I don't even know. And there's so many pop artists I don't even know. And then there's so many R&B and hip hop artists I don't know. So it's exciting because there's so much, but it's almost like, I missed that target marketing of like, whoa, this is going to be so good because it's only going to be this many people that you can pay attention to, you know? Right. So there's something cool about that. Like a Michael Jackson in this day and age may get lost, you know? So you recently, I know, well, yeah, maybe, maybe not. You recently played Songwriters in the Round at Hotel Cafe. You were amazing, by the way. I was like, yeah. I was playing guitar, but I was always listening to everything you were doing. And it's like, you got some vocal chops. So did you take vocal lessons as a kid? Were you in choirs? Like, how did you kind of get the vocal chops?
You know, I like hated the idea of voice lessons growing up, just because I was like, oh, I don't want anything to change, you know, like my,
right,
you know, like my style and things like that. And in high school, it was a requirement. If you were in choir, you had to take voice lessons. So that was one of the only times I took voice lessons. But I, as I got older, I'm realizing like that's, voice lessons are so important. You know, you need to know how to really use your diaphragm and sing properly or else you're going to lose it. So, and also just like projecting and knowing how to do things stylistically. I think it's really important to take voice lessons as well. So I am currently looking to do that.
Wow. That's, well, you don't need them now. You still think you need them now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to be able to preserve my voice. I don't ever want to lose it. So I think it's going to be, especially getting older, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm taking care of it. Yeah.
That's interesting because it's like there's times where I miss voice lessons where, you know, like you're walking up with two or three songs, like, okay, I better nail it on this one because I've been working on it. You know, there's that sense of like focused rehearsal time. And then there's other times where I'm like, man, I love that I'm just like working on music and singing, yeah, like doing the thing. So like there's this also kind of like, I miss both worlds because there's the preparation and rehearsal. Like there's something about that focused rehearsal just on yourself that you just don't always get as you're gigging, rehearsing with a band and playing musicians, because it's just, you don't have the time to. You're like, okay, I've got to do the work that is the major attention. So I love that you still have the desire. What were you learning in voice lessons when you were learning? Were you learning breathing? Were you learning classical repertoire? What was the kind of focus?
Yeah, so, you know, typical high school choir, it is more like classical show tunes. You know, we was like, yeah, across the board. But we did focus on a lot of making sure that we were breathing properly, intonation and things like that, which I've forgotten pretty much everything. So that's another reason why I'm like, I think it's time to.
You still sound good though. As long as you sound good, then it's like, that is your guide always. So
that was my base. Yeah.
Coming from a singer, you don't really need lessons. Like you should just be out there doing it. But I do respect that you're like, I still want to learn how to do this for a long term. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's important. So I love that. And then when did you kind of start taking music really seriously and saying, okay, you know what? This is what I want to do. This is how I want to kind of get music out there. These are the songs I want to write. What was that moment like for you?
To be honest, that was something I've always wanted to do since I was little. I always knew I wanted to be a singer and write music and be an artist. So I feel like I was kind of always serious since I was really little. But it's one of those things where, you know, you feel kind of ashamed of it. It's like a pipe dream and, you know, not everybody believes in you or, you know, they're like, oh, you should really have a backup plan, things like that, which are all very important points. But I think it did tend to take me away from what I really wanted to do. And eventually it's, you know, then I'm focusing on work and I'm focusing on other things and making sure that I can make a life for myself. But, you know, I'm pushing my dreams aside. So I think I really started to take it seriously in college when I was performing a lot I was asked to perform at so many different talent shows and different like variety shows across the Midwest. I would go to different colleges and perform, and I was meeting other musicians as well. And they were, you know, writing their own music and they were releasing songs. And at the time it was kind of a new thing to be able to release your own music without a label. It was wow.
It's a huge thing. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the time where I was like, okay, well, if they're doing it, then that's what I want to do too. If I don't need a label and I can just have my friends play for me, and, you know, I have really talented friends who can produce for me as well. So I might as well take the leap and actually, you know, give it a shot.
Isn't it so vibrant when you see, like, you're in, you know, it's kind of like your early 20s where you're just like around all these young aspiring artists. There's an energy with that, like, wave of people, ideas, how they're working, how you're drawing from, like, you're just, oh, that's cool, I like that. Oh, I like this graphic. Or you're seeing, like, how the minds, the creative minds are working to brand themselves, market themselves, to find their niche, find their sound. There's such a really beautiful time that I kind of, like, miss some of that, because there was, it felt like when you're younger, it's like everything's all together. And then as you get older, it kind of starts separating and you kind of make your own path and you're distant from people because you're going your own way. But there's a really beautiful community that is really vibrant that I miss, you know, and that, like, seeing everybody kind of going for the same thing or kind of like drawing from that. Tell me what that community was like that for you. Was it choir people? Was it songwriters? Was it guitarists and producers? Who were those people for you that you were kind of drawing from?
I think for me, I mean, I was surrounded by all types of different people, and choir did play a very important role in my life. But I would say in college, when I was amongst the other, they were like the Filipino American YouTubers. YouTube was so brand new at the time. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard of, like, Jeremy Passion and Gabe Bondoc and Melissa Polinar. Like, I was performing with them.
Melissa's been on the show. She's been
on the show. Nice. Awesome. Yeah, exactly. I've done shows with them, and, like, I was surrounded by them and just, you know, doing jam sessions with them after shows. Like, I do miss that too. I was going to say that's something that I just miss, like, sitting around and we're just, like, harmonizing and playing guitar and just coming up with stuff on a whim. Like, that is fun. Like, that is, feels so creative and it feels so freeing. And, like, that is something that I also miss. So those were the people that I was surrounded by that I felt like I really want to keep doing this.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I miss those, like, oh, what are you doing after the gig? It's like, now it's like, I go home. You know, it's like, I want to go to bed. It's like, but like when you're in your, like, younger years and you're with a bunch of younger artists, there's like a hang, and then it's like people are jamming, and then, like, you're meeting people, and then all of a sudden you're making music with them, and it's like, wow, this is something. There's something about that vibe that is just untouched, and you don't realize it when you're in it because it's just like everybody's trying to hustle, but you're all drawing from each other, and it's just such a creative time. Now you've written songs, you've made music videos. Tell me how some of that has shaped you to be an artist and kind of make that artistic vision, create that path for yourself.
I mean, very early on, I had a guitarist and we would write together. You know, we wrote songs together. And I do love that genre. But, you know, after I kind of released my first EP back in 2016 and, you know, like that, and then I made that music video and I finished that project, I was like, okay, well, you know, as much as I really loved that, I don't think that was really me. So it kind of made me realize, okay, I think I do want to continue on more of like the R&B pop path. So that's kind of what I'm doing now. It did, like I said, I loved it and I still do. And I'll probably continue to do songs similar to that. But I think I am gravitating more towards the R&B sounds, pop, things like that.
You definitely have the chops. You definitely have the vocal chops. You got the voice, you got the sound. You know what I noticed too? It's like, and this is like, I have to ask this because I come from a culture where it breeds engineers and doctors. And I know, and the Filipinos are very similar too. There's a lot of doctors, nurses, like all of that is part of the culture. But there's also something that I really love in the Filipino culture where there's this embracing of arts and music. Tell me where that comes from. Is it like family get-togethers? Is it ingrained in the culture where music is just a real big part of the culture? Because I noticed there are so many Filipinos that are musically talented, can dance, they can sing, and it's like part of their community. So tell me what that was like growing up or where you kind of get that influence from.
Well, as a family, we did always love music, and my parents, you know, listened to the Beatles, Bee Gees, Carpenters. I remember we would be sitting in the car, and if there was a new song on the radio that we all really loved, we would literally sit in the garage and listen to it until it was over. So it was, you know, I was always surrounded by that mindset that music is life and, you know, we love music over here. And then also my mom's side, she has a brother who is kind of like me. He loves to sing. He loves to perform. And then I also have a cousin on my mom's side. Same thing. Loves to sing, loves to perform. And they all sound amazing. So I think a lot of it comes from my mom's side. And then my dad's side, of course, they sing in choir and church and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, it's cool because you see like a Bruno Mars coming out of the Filipino community. And it's like, it's just a matter of time that somebody would pop out like that because it's in the community. It's a part of the culture. And it's a part, like with my culture, it's like Bollywood. It is dancing. It's a different kind of singing. And it is instruments, but it's like everything's about the culture. Like, okay, it has to be Indian music. It has to be Indian classical dance, where it's like what I love about the Filipino culture. It's like, you're singing the Bee Gees, you're singing the Beatles, you're singing that. It's like a big part of the culture. And, you know, that's why you see more people kind of getting those opportunities. Tell me what you're listening to right now. Who are the artists that are influencing you right now?
Ooh, artists right now. Well, Ariana Grande for a while. I love her music. I love her sound. I still do. I can't say that Chapel Roan is influencing me, but I've loved her since the pandemic. I discovered Pink Pony Club in 2020 and I just was obsessed. There was something about her that I was like, I don't know if I really like her, but I just, for some reason, I feel like I might love her. And
it's
chaotic.
I mean, you can't not love her. It's infectious.
Yeah. So she's really great. Also, I think it's Keshi. Keshi has, he released, I don't know when he released his album, but that his kind of like 80s R&B sound, I think that's what it is. I really love, and I'm working on a song right now that's sort of takes from his sound as well. So yeah, I would say he's probably my influence right now in terms of what I'm writing currently.
Well, let's play some of your music. What do you want to play us first? Artist choice.
Let's do End This Game, because I think that was like one of the first ones that a lot of friends and fans loved. I think it was received really well. And that was also written with my previous guitarist, Alan Tiongson. That's a really good one.
All right, here's End This Game by Ashley Barrera.
Oh, don't you really, really want me to try dancing around all these thoughts of you and I? Finally got the strength to get over you. So why are you suddenly pulling through? You're pushing me away. You want me to stay. I'm hiding how I feel. Can we just keep it real? what he is feeling. So many signs are so misleading. Baby, I'm tired, won't you just tell me, baby?
Such a great song. My God. It's so
great. By the way, thank you for learning that so last minute for songwriters.
Honestly, you know what? I have to give a compliment to your guitar player because when I was listening to it, it was like, I mean, it's first of all, like, I always like size up music. Okay, what am I learning? Okay. And then I like, it's rare that I just stop and listen and don't touch my guitar for a little bit and listen to the whole song. And I listened to the whole song and I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome to learn. And then it's like, okay, I get to learn the chords. I get to learn all this stuff. But your guitar player just had cool chords, cool progressions. Everything about it was cool. And then to hear your vocal chops on top of it and the vocal arrangement, it was just really well sung, well written, well crafted, well produced. Everything was great.
Thank you. Yeah.
Love the song. I love your music. And it's like, you always know that too. It's like, you know, I think you sent me these songs and I hadn't listened. And then I listened. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, you're a real artist, and that's real. It's really rare to see that. You know, it's like you see people that are like, oh, well, oh yeah, I write music, I play. But it's always the ones that are real quiet about it, like yourself. And you're really quiet about it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I've got some songs. And then when you hear your songs, it's like you have songs that you can really sink your teeth into, and they're good songs, good hooks.
Yeah.
So tell me what that influenced, like, what influenced that song? Who was – I know R&B is a huge influence on you, but tell me, like, what is the sound? What is the style that you kind of really were kind of marking with this song?
I mean, honestly, Alan was the one who, you know, he came up with the guitar chords himself. And I think a lot of it was the influence from, you know, like the YouTube artists back in the day, like Melissa Polinar. I think that was, and he didn't even start playing guitar until he was in college. He just picked it up out of nowhere. So I think that was a lot of his inspiration, and like I said, that was something that I loved as well. And the lyrics itself was inspired by a friend of mine who was dealing with a guy who was just kind of giving her the runaround. He said that he wanted to be with her, and he also said that he would also shy away from it, and she was just getting frustrated and fed up. So yeah, then that song just kind of put itself together. Yeah.
You can hear it too, and it's like, what's really cool is like when you're playing the song, like when you're listening to the song, I can actually see you both jamming to the song, like in a living room or in a small studio, like coming out, and it's like, it's got that intimacy. But then when you hear all the harmonies, it's like, oh, this is well produced, but it's really got this intimacy that is so great that you can't find a lot in studio recordings. So it kind of makes your ear go, oh yeah, this is cool. So it's really beautiful how you kind of create this jamming in the living room vibe, but got this produced thing where it's like it can stand up against any Daniel Caesar tune or, like, you know what I mean? Like any, songs, any of that style. So I love that. Those are two artists you didn't mention, but those are two really great R&B artists that I love that are current that I just think the world of. They're just so, so great. So, so when you're writing, are you writing like autobiographically as a third person observer, like what's the kind of like narrative that you usually write from?
A lot of it is, you know, life experience, and I'm a hopeless romantic, and I'm also a dramatic, so you know it. There's a song that I want to play next that was inspired by a breakup, so that's where that
I always inspire those.
But you know, like that's probably the best thing that came out of that breakup. So you know, I'm thankful for it. But you know, yeah, just I think I don't know, like just even now I'm happy in life and happily married. So it is a little harder to find inspiration. And then, you know, you don't always want to write about happy love songs all the time. So, you know, I definitely like, I keep my ears open. I, you know, keep my eyes open for inspiration out there and then see
if you
I can
start picking fights. Just start pick
fights. Right. Maybe I should. Seriously.
You didn't hear that from me. You didn't hear that from me. No. No, but I mean, it's like, we thrive on that. Like, we thrive on the heartache and we thrive on the lust and also the passion and love, all the romantic things. All those things are like what drive songwriters to write. So it's like when everything's cool and calm waters, it's hard to write from that place. Cause it's like, well, right. there's nothing extreme in this moment. Everything feels good. Good. Mm-hmm. It's hard to write about because people don't really need music when everything's good. It's like, right. Oh, everything's good. You don't need anything. So exactly. It's those songs that pull us, that open those old wounds. And I'm sure that you know, if you wrote a heartbreak song right now, there's a wound in there that just reopens.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? I think that's weird too. It's like, I thought this wound was past, you know, and it just opens it up all over again. So tell me about this heartbreak song. Let's set it up a little bit before we play it. Tell me what you were going through. What was the moment? What made you write it?
Well, like I said, I was going through a breakup, but it was one of those relationships where I felt like it never really got to go anywhere. But even though I really wanted it to, and I really admired him as a person. And I think I also wasn't very secure in myself, to be with him. So it was a lot of those things. And like I said, it was college and I was emotional and, my friend had left his piano at my apartment. And it was like literally sitting right next to my bed for months. And I would go to bed at night. I would, you know, dabble a little bit. It kind of sounds a little bit like Richard Marx. Sorry, but
I love that. He's great. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, that was just my inspiration for that.
What's the name of the song?
We Happened. And okay. this one is the music video that I shot. I think like a year before the pandemic. And it was kind of my dream to do at least one music video for one of those songs on that EP. And that was kind of just like, I closed the chapter on that EP and I moved on from there. So yeah, that was my, the cherry on top of the cake for me.
Let's check it out. Here's We Happened by Ashley Barrera.
I'm going insane. Can you understand?
So great. Thank you. And I hear the Richard Marx influence now. I didn't hear it before. And then he planted that little Easter egg. I'm like, oh, I see where this song is coming from. Very cool. That was a cool video. Like, where did you find the location and cool furniture? It was just awesome.
So there is an artist, Christine Noel, and you actually played one of her songs with me at the Songwriter Circle. But it was her music video for that song that I was like, ooh, who did this video? And I looked him up and I found him. And so he was the one who scouted the locations. And yeah, it was really cool. It was nice. Awesome. It was great to do. Yeah.
What's funny, it's like music videos are like, they're kind of a little bit artificial in the sense of like, oh my God, now I have to be in front of the camera and act this song out a little bit. You made it look so natural, which is not easy to do. Yeah. I tell you, it's not easy because it's like, I know what they're probably playing the song. They're like, all right, we want you to sing. And you're like, yo, there's no band here. There's just like a small little speaker that you have to pretend like sounds like the music video. And you're just like, belting it out and trying to make it look natural.
I will say, though, I did practice a lot growing up. I would always pretend I was in music videos. So cool. I was like, oh, this is easy. It was fun.
Just like the mirror when I was 8 years old practicing in front of it.
Right.
Well, you had all the faces. You were like very in the moment, very musical theater. All of it
kind
of, you know, paid tribute to the music video. I could see, you know, on levels. But it was really nice. Really beautiful, like, the shots, the room, like their vocal, all the little shots of you kind of like lying down, sitting in the chair, standing against the brick wall. Mm-hmm. Did you kind of have a vision for this? Where you're like, I want it to be empty room, just me singing like when you were a kid, probably.
Yeah, no, actually, I did have a very specific vision for that. And he helped me bring that to life. So it was really amazing that he was like, yeah, he gave me the rooms and like, this room is perfect. And I found that dress. I was kind of a little worried that it looked a little grandma-ish, but after I put it on and like, you know, you're in the room and you're barefoot and you're like in the moment, it's like, okay, it all comes together.
No. And it's cool because it's like, you know, those scenes, what I love is like when songs become movies in your mind. There's mm-hmm. just something about that where it's like, oh, you know, like this song could take me to that place. And you really painted that picture. Like I could hear song and see that same kind of visual, and then you painted that visual in all of our minds by, you know, kind of marrying the music with the visual. So mm-hmm. like, what was your vision? I want to know, like, you wanted to be in a room singing the song about heartache, heartbreak. What were you thinking in those moments when you were filming? What were you thinking?
I mean, that is exactly what it was. It's like I wanted it to seem very, you know, like that I was alone and kind of, I guess, a little sultry a little bit too. And but I really wanted to encapsulate that idea that like, I'm emotional, I'm alone. And yeah, I don't know how else to describe it, but.
Well, it's cool. Cause you definitely convey that. Cause it's like a big open room, and then it's like all the like positions that you're in. You're like on the chair. Like these are all the emotional places of like vulnerability. You're on the floor. Like just, you know what I mean? It's like, you're just, your heart is broken. You can feel all those things. And you really kind of conveyed that. How long was the shoot? Do you remember?
Ooh, I don't think it was too long, you know, like, especially an artist on a budget, you have to be careful with that kind of thing. So it maybe was 2 or 3 hours. It wasn't.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. And then, you know, the more locations that you do, they're going to charge you more. So I was like, you know what? Artists on a budget. And it, you know, and it works out. It looks to me, I still love it. It's yeah. The only music video I've ever done, but I think it's still beautiful.
Well, it's also like very classic in the sense that like you made something like the music videos that you grew up with that were like mm-hmm. stories and small vignettes, small movies that, you know, just were married to the song, you know, like, people don't make videos like that anymore. And I miss that because it's like, it just has a vibe when you see it presented like that. You know, it's like, that's the MTV era that I grew up with. Where you see one snippet, you're like, oh, I know this music video. And you're in it for 3.5 minutes or whatever it is. Right.
You know, that's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Cause I kind of feel that like I have a hard time breaking out of that whole back in the 90s, back in the 2000s, MTV era. Like, I feel like so much of my influence comes from there, and you hear it. You'll hear it in the next song that I sent to you. It's very like, oh, she grew up in the 90s and the 2000s. Like, this is her thing.
What a great era to grow up in, because it's like, yeah. it was like MTV was a huge thing. It's like, now MTV plays like reality shows. It's not music videos at all. And I miss that so much. It's like, I used to race home after school as a kid to see what the top 20 was, and like
DRL.
DRL. And it's like, yeah. I'm just knowing, like, okay, oh, this video made it to number 10. Oh, it was number 15 last week. You know, mm-hmm. It's like that doesn't have that same influence and power, but the videos became nostalgic and also like fabrics to our youth and growing up. Like, pop culture was everything. And then you don't realize too, around the world, it's influencing other countries as well, because it's happening here and influencing this culture. So I'm sure, you know, if you ever went back to the Philippines, that people would say, oh, I love this song. And you're like, oh yeah, it's huge over in the States, you know, or like maybe you're playing songs that they haven't heard before that are about to become huge because they haven't hit yet. So it's just interesting to see how that influences both you and I, because we grew up in that era where like music videos were huge, like having to make like burn CDs for somebody. Oh, this is the tape I want you to hear. Now it's like, oh, music's everywhere, and it just doesn't have that thing. But right. It's like all the art that we make, we're like making love letters from the sounds and the sights that we saw growing up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
That does make me feel better. You know, I that I'm able to preserve that sort of thing that we don't really see these days anymore. So I like that. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, and I also love like when artists, like, they show you what's in their CD, like their catalog of music they're listening to, their record player, their CD player. When an artist's songs, like, I now know you love Richard Marx because that song that you wrote is in your catalog. You love the love ballads. The ballads are just like, oh, those, yeah, power ballads from the 90s. I mean, they're like untouched, especially like old Celine Dion ballads from like the 90s were insane. They were so good, you know, and like also all the R&B, the 90s ballads in R&B, they were probably the best they'll ever be. You know what I mean? All those love ballads. So like, I love that you made like a love letter to those in your music video. What are we playing next? And let's set it up. Like, what's the next song? What's the style? What's the influence? What's the inspiration?
So this one is actually one of my more recent ones. I worked with my friend Carl Cartagena, and he produced the song, and we started writing the song together. He started throwing like beats on it, and you know, we were playing around with it a little bit. And it's really not until that I can kind of be alone and by myself with what we created where I can really start to think, okay, this is what I want. This is what I envisioned the melody sounding like. This is, you know, kind of the lyrics that are coming to me. It's like, I really need to be alone and not with other people. And of course, you know, I'll lay down my ideas and see what he thinks. And, you know, we go from there. But I think I really need the time to just sit there and be alone and listen to it and see what I come up with. And this song really specifically jumped at me as a very Mariah song, and like the sound of it, and you know, the way that I sung the vocals, like just the Mariah in me was coming out. So that's awesome. Where all that came from. And I was like, I love this song. I mean, we could have done maybe a few things to add a little bit more color to it, but you know, I think it's good the way that it is. And it's, to me, it's one of my favorites that I've ever written. So yeah.
You before we play it, you raise an interesting point. It's like, does that ever stop when you don't think you should have added this or added this? And it's like, the song is done when you abandon it, but there's always, as an artist, you're like, I could have added this harmony. Oh, I could have done this lick. Oh, now it's this chord change would have been cool under this. It's like, you always think of those things you can add, but really it's finished when you're like, I think it's done. I'm going to let it go. That's it. That's all I'm going to do for now.
At some point, you do have to let it go. And I think that's always going to be like that forever. You're always going to release stuff and you're always going to be like, damn, I should have done something different there. But, you know, that's what's great about live performance, because, right, you know, you could always do it there too. So,
right. Yeah. All right. What's the name of the song? Let's set it up.
This is What You Do to Me.
All right. Here's What You Do to Me by Ashley Barrera.
Keeping me warm.
So, I mean, that is like one of your most hypnotic tracks. And it's like, it's weird. There's a great 311 song that has that guitar sound. I'm sure your guitarist knows what it is. Yeah, it's just so hypnotic. And it's just got that, it's like a chorus effect with delay. And it just, and then with the R&B vocals, it just like, it just sets the scene. You got to do a music video for that. That song is.
Maybe I will. Yeah.
It's aching for a music video because it's just so good. It's just, yeah, it's just one. It's like one of those like super strong ballads, but it's just got a hypnosis to it because it just slows you down. You know, and it's like it makes you just be present. So it's just good to do that. So tell me what the style and influence, like what made you want to make it like that?
Like I said, you know, the first EP that I had, it was a lot more singer-songwriter and acoustic, which again, I love, but you know, I did want to start going towards more of the R&B route. And so that, you know, when I heard that we started putting it together, I was like, ooh, this is really like the sound that I think I naturally, you know, can sing to. Like that's my voice really will lay over this so naturally. And so I'm like, I'm just going to start writing to this and see what happens. And sure enough, it's like one of my favorites that I've ever written.
And you definitely hear the Mariah influence on that one. I mean, I just hear, it's like, it's so good though. It's like, you know, what's cool is like Mariah's got some really great, you know, vocal runs and things, but like the sound of your voice on this, I actually like better than Mariah Carey.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, there's like a timbre in your voice that's just like stronger. You know, it's just like fuller and stronger. The tone in your voice is really great, especially on this one. It's awesome. So it's like when I heard it, I was like, oh, I can hear the little Mariah coming out. Like, right. You know, it's like the reverb on the vocal. It's all of it. It's like just sets it up. So
the reverb, you know, it's the falsettos, you know, all of the harmonies and all that. Totally Mariah.
Yeah. So you must have loved her Unplugged. Did you ever see her Unplugged?
Yes. From like 98 or something. Yes.
And I mean, then I think it was like 92. If you want to.
Oh, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. That Unplugged album. Yes.
And it's so good. It's like that early Mariah was kind of like unstoppable, unbeatable. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, she was like just like this R&B queen in that point, trying to prove herself. And, you know, like I kind of feel like there were so many good R&B singers at the time. But then when she came on the scene, she kind of erased all of them from your memory. You know what I mean? She's just so big and so huge at the time. And it was just like, who is this singer? And then she was singing all those like crazy high notes. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just, it was awesome. So I love that you kind of took this style into your songwriting and the production. Are you writing more songs like this? Or what's happening for your next songs that you're kind of going into?
Kind of. I definitely do want to keep forging that path of similar to that. But, you know, like I mentioned before, I love like the 80s sound. Right. You know, Taylor Swift does that a lot too. So to me, it's like I will listen to when we start putting things together and we start writing together. And, it, you know, if I like it, then I'm going to write to it. And then if I like what I write to it, then I'm going to release it. So it's not really like I don't have like a specific genre in mind, but, you know, I will try to stick to things that I know I can authentically produce. But I am hoping to release, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 more songs this year. That might be a little wishful thinking, but that's my goal. But yeah, like I said, it's going to be similar to that. It's going to be some 80s. It's going to be some good stuff.
That's awesome. And you know what? It's like, I've told you this many times. You should be playing out a lot because it's like, yes. You have so much to give. And it's like, what I always think about, it's like, there's so many good artists out there when they're not playing and singing. I'm like, the world is being denied, you know, like what you do. So it's like, I hope you always put out music. I hope you're always out there singing and playing. I know it's sometimes it's a grind, but you deserve it because it's like you're so good. And it's like you worked this hard to get this good up to this point. You might as well keep going instead of stop. You know what I mean? So I love that you're always like thinking about the next thing. Where can people find you if they want to find your music and they want to find you online?
You can find everything on my Linktree. It's like linktr.ee and then /Ashley, ASHLEE.music. So Linktree/Ashley.music. All of my links are on there. Instagram, YouTube, TikTok is on there. You can find me on all those links. You can find me on Spotify, anywhere that you stream music, Apple Music. You can buy my music too, if you liked what you heard tonight. And then you can always reach out to me, and I'm starting to make cover songs again. So if anybody wants to me and request, you know, a song that they want me to sing, I'd love to try it out.
I want to ask you as a younger artist, like in this new TikTok era and this new YouTube era, like how do you feel about how to market new music, current music, even cover song music? Like, tell me what that's like for you, because I pull out my hair just trying to like stay, like, keep up with it. Honestly, it's just keeping up with it that just is hard to do.
It's overwhelming, you know, and that whole thing is a job in itself. And especially since, you know, they say that the algorithm changes all the time. There's so many different nuances and like little things that change. And, you know, there's formulas that they say you follow, but that's not always the truth. And they, you know, there's so many people telling you like, well, you need to have a hook for your videos so that, you know, you get people to watch. But, you know, that doesn't always work that way. So it's trial and error. And I think it's a lot of work, and you just got to keep, you know, testing what gets the audience. But it's tough. It's tough.
I'm sure you come from a culture like my culture where everybody has suggestions. A lot of people are like, oh, you know what you should do? You should do this. And it's like, they tell you like they've been on this artist path for 20 years. Like, right. You know what you should do? You should do a music video where you wear orange because orange is a bright color and people will notice it. And you're like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work because I know that orange is like a flash in the pan and nobody's going to care after the first 5 seconds. You know what it's like? Right. Exactly. How do you take those suggestions and kind of brush them off, or do you listen to them and say, yeah, that's a good idea, maybe I should try that?
Sometimes I do listen, you know, I take what people say and I really think about from what I've experienced and I try to think about if it makes sense or not. And sometimes like if I take their advice, it'll work. But you know, only for a short amount of time. Cause like I said, things change all the time. The algorithm always changes. So it's, I don't know. It's a whole other job in itself.
It's also the trend of music. Like I'm like, you know, there's a part of me that I feel like there's a part of me that wants to make music that I want to make from the style of music that I love. Like what you said, you're like, I love 90s R&B. Like I want to make 90s R&B. And it's like, it will come around where that becomes the popular genre again, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's another side where it's like, oh, I need to make something that no one's heard with new production. And it's like, there's this like catch 22 of, oh, I need to make something that nobody's heard in a style that nobody's heard. And then there's part of me, it's like, yo, this is the stuff I love listening to. I want to make stuff that shows you what I've been growing up to, listening to all my life. And hopefully you dig it. And I don't care if you do or not, because this is stuff I love and I'm going to make it. You know what I mean? So how do you find the balance between making the songs that you love out of your wheelhouse and making the thing that could trend? Like, how do you balance that?
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I just feel like if you try to make stuff that is trendy and it's not authentic to you, people are going to know, you know, like they can tell, and you know, it's not always going to sound great because it's not, again, it's not authentic to your voice or putting out there. So I, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, try to do the trendy thing, I always want to make sure that it's something that I think I can relate to, and that it's something that I can put my own flavor into, and that's something, like I said, that I can authentically perform and produce and present as me. So it is hard to find that balance, and then I think sometimes you also just have to try it and just do it, and see how it goes. And you know, yeah, it's, as long as you're having fun and enjoying it, I say.
I love it. Well, I hope you always have fun, you always enjoy it, and I hope you always keep making music. Your music is amazing. Your voice is amazing. Keep writing songs. Keep singing for the world to hear you. And I hope you keep coming back. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
Yeah, see, it's like great to talk music. It's like, this is why I built this artist on artist interviews. It's like, you told me about artists that I'm going to go look and check out that I haven't even heard of. So I'm like, well, I love doing this. So on behalf of Sam, myself, and Ashley, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Check out Ashley's music on all music platforms. Ashley Barrera. We'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and hair grease.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.